Lord was ever going to give us kids, and he's given us three more than I ever thought I was going to have. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. They make traveling interesting, but they're constant reminders of God's goodness in our lives, and we praise him for that. They all had a good nap this afternoon along with their mother, so they should all be behaving this evening. Our last name is a Portuguese word, and you look at the age, and it's pronounced like a Y. So you pronounce every vowel, but then the age is like a Y. So it's pronounced Coelho. Do you see it there? Coelho is a Portuguese word. A lot of people say, why don't you Americanize your name and make it easier for people to pronounce it? I will tell you why. Coelho is a Portuguese word that literally means rabbit. Now, how would you have felt if Pastor had announced me as Robert Rabbit? See, because of that little chuckle, you have to say Roberto Coelho. And we're ministering in São Paulo, Brazil. I was born in Minneapolis, but raised in Brazil. My parents are missionaries there. My wife, Patricia, was born and raised in Brazil. She was actually the first convert in my dad's church planting ministry. My younger brother actually led her to the Lord. And a few weeks later, I proposed and we got married. Not quite. I'll share some more details this week. But she was 14 when she got saved. I was 15. And we worked together in the youth group, and the Lord brought us together. And I praise the Lord for my wife as well. And the Lord allowed us to go back to Brazil, not too far from where she grew up. Our desire was to reach her family with the gospel of Jesus Christ as well. Her family was all unsaved. And 6 months into our ministry there, the Lord allowed us to see her mother getting saved. Her father, brother, and sister are still unsaved. But we've been there for 9 years now, church planting, and we praise the Lord for this church and the partnership in the ministry and for supporting us there. Let me invite you to open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 28. Pastor told me 30 minutes, and then graciously he came here and said 40 minutes. And of course, anytime you give a preacher time, they always take a little longer, but we won't be doing that tonight because we're hoping to hear Pastor Malone and what the Lord has been working his heart. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. What do missionaries do? Well, missionaries are those who obey the Great Commission. Missionaries are those who obey the Great Commission. And that is found in verse 19. Therefore, go, and perhaps your Bible says, teach all nations. I like the translation that says better. Go into all the world and make disciples. Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. That's the Great Commission. To go, we heard Pastor preaching about that this morning. We need to go. That means we have to leave the comfort of our homes. We need to get up from our couches and we need to go. Go where? Go into all nations throughout the whole world and make disciples. Now, I understand that this church is composed of many military people, those perhaps who have served or who are still serving. May I invite you to stand up, please, if you have served or are serving in the military, any branch? Okay, wonderful. All of these men and women have a very good idea about obeying orders, right? What do you do when you receive an order? Do you just say yes, sir, and that's it? Saying yes, sir, does it? That's the first thing you say. But then when you receive another, besides saying yes, sir, you obey. What if you don't? Well, perhaps jail or something like that. In verse 19, we have the highest ranking official that there is. This is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and he is giving us an order. Go and make disciples. And as good, obedient followers of Jesus Christ, first of all, we need to say, yes, sir, he is our Lord and Savior. And then we need to go and obey. Perhaps as Christians, we're used to saying, yes, sir, because we are in church. But then we go home and we don't do it. It is an order. It is in the imperative mode. Go and make disciples. The commission is to make disciples of all nations. I especially like coming to Lake County Baptist Church because there are many nations represented here. I love the different flavors. I love the different countries, the different people. And it almost is a little picture of what things will be like in heaven when every knee from every nation will bow before Jesus Christ the Savior. So it's a privilege to be here with you. São Paulo is a cosmopolitan city. It is a melting pot. People from different nations, different people like now. As a matter of fact, we have some people from Haiti attending our church, and they don't know Portuguese. Our people don't know Creole, so it's rather interesting, but they have something in common. They have their faith in Jesus Christ in common, so it's exciting to see that. Go! Go! It means that we need to leave the places that we are and go. That begins across the street from our homes, another neighborhood, another city, and also that includes another nation. The order from the Savior is that we need to make disciples of all nations. And then he goes on saying that that also involves baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Letting them, teaching them to give public testimony of their salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we make disciples by going, and then of course you preach the gospel to them, and then you baptize them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Now this word disciples is interesting because it was used in the passage Pastor preached out of this morning, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples. They had made disciples in Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And that's it. No, the commission extends beyond that. And many people have forgotten that throughout the history of the church. Many crusades of the past, I think, have failed in this very point. The commission continues. Teaching them, you make disciples, teaching them to observe, teaching them to become obedient followers of Jesus Christ, teaching them to observe some things I have commanded you. Notice that this is a big task before us. It's not simply teaching them to obey one or two commands. Teaching them to obey all things whatsoever I have commanded you. How long does it take to teach a disciple to obey all the commandments? How long does it take to teach a child to obey? Please let me know. My oldest son is 6 and he's not there yet in some areas. And I'm hoping that by next year he will have some of these things down. Perhaps not. Sometimes, even as a 40-year-old adult, 39, I still hear my mother saying a few things, eat your veggies. And I say, no, mother, I'm going to go to the fatty stuff. Teaching them to observe all things. This is an important component of the Great Commission. We teach them. And I think Pastor has been stressing this very point. We need to teach the nations to obey. It's not simply enough to preach the gospel and see them converted. The task involves teaching them. And again, that is seen in the passage, confirming the souls of the disciples. I need to back up. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many. And again, we saw this morning that they went back there to do what? Teach some more. And we saw this morning that they went there a third time to do what? Teach some more. And we know that Paul wrote a few letters to those believers to do what? Teaching them to apply the Christian gospel, the Christian beliefs, into their daily lives. That's the epistles that we have. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now, as a missionary and a church planter, I can let you know that this is not easy. It is not easy to preach the gospel. It is not a message that people want to hear these days. It is not a message that people are welcoming you. They don't like you for preaching it. As a matter of fact, we should expect not to be liked, but we should expect to be hated. They hated our Savior, and he warns us that we should expect to be hated as well. So, as you go door to door, and people shut the door in your face, or they say, no way, or they call your name, or they say something to you, that is to be expected. Nonetheless, we are to go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. A missionary, then, is someone who fulfills or obeys the Great Commission, who goes and tries to make disciples of Jesus Christ by preaching the gospel, teaching them, and exhorting them to continue in the faith. Now, as I said, this is a very difficult task to be accomplished, and is one that cannot be accomplished by our own means or wisdom. As we have done church planting in Brazil, I had a lot of ideas. I had a good seminary training. I'm a graduate of Central Seminary, and I thought I was ready for the task until the first Sunday came about. And I said, you know what? I'm not as ready as I thought I should be. And I found out that many things I wasn't ready for, and that is to be expected because we're not supposed to do this in our own power. Now we have Christ's commission. He also left us in making disciples his provision. His provision, that's verse 18. Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And that should encourage us. The Almighty God is commissioning us, and he is saying, because I have all the power, go. So we're not going in our own power, our own strength, our own wisdom. We are going in Christ's power, and he has all power in earth and in heaven. Anywhere we go, everywhere we go, we can be certain that Christ's power extends there. So we can be assured that even though we live in dangerous places, the safest place always to be is right in the center of Christ's will. The most dangerous place to be is away from Christ's will. Ask Prophet Jonah about that, and he can tell you a few things from his book. All power, that has got to be an encouragement. That's the reason we go. We can be encouraged to go, and there's a therefore. So verse 19, go, therefore. Therefore is there because he said previously, all power is given unto me. As we go and make disciples, we don't do it in our own strength. We have Christ's strength as we go and do this. Not only did he give us a provision and a commission, he also left us with a promise. And that's at the end of verse 20. And I am with you always. When I was a little kid living in Brazil, one day someone figured out that we were always gone on Wednesdays and always gone on Sundays. One day we came back from church Sunday night, and there was someone waiting in our home with a gun, and they took some things from our home. And that really impacted me as a little boy. So from then on, I was afraid of the dark. Now, being afraid of the dark is kind of dumb because at night, everywhere you go, it's dark. And you have to go there, and you have to step into darkness to turn on the light. And pretty soon I developed this idea that if one of my brothers went with me, I wouldn't be as afraid. Think with me, what would have my brother done if there was a robber there? But just having him with me, even though he was younger, was always a comfort. Now, I like to send him ahead of me because he was a little dumb. Now, my oldest brother liked to hide. So he knew he were coming, and he liked to hide and spook us. So I'd send my youngest brother ahead of me, and he'd be the one who got spooked. He didn't like my oldest brother for that. But I liked having him along with me because, again, he was my first line of defense. If anything were to happen, he would go first. We don't have just anybody with us, not a little brother. We have Christ's presence with us. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Everywhere we go, anytime we go, we're never alone. We have his commission, we have his provision, and we have his presence with us. So whether it be in one of the most dangerous places in Mexico, Christ is with us. Philippines, Liberia, or wherever it may be, downtown São Paulo, he is with us as we attempt to obey him and make disciples of every nation. So this is what missionaries do. They obey the Great Commission, going, teaching, baptizing, and they have Christ's provision. He has all power. He will help us, and we have his promise. He is with us even unto the end of the age. We went back to Brazil after we raised support in 2005, and I need to remind you that Fourth Baptist Church is our sending church in Minneapolis. That's the home of Central Seminary. and were sent under Baptist World Mission of Decatur, Alabama. The Lord sent us back to the country of Brazil, where I had lived all of my life, pretty much, and where Patricia was originally from. Brazil is the world's fifth largest country, with a population of about 250 million. And the Lord sent us back to the city of São Paulo. You see the pin there. Brazil is about the same size as the continental U.S., just so you have an idea of the size of Brazil. The Lord sent us back to the city of São Paulo, the third largest city in the world, a population of about 23 million souls, most of which are still lost. And you can go to the tallest building downtown, and all you would see in any direction you looked would be a sea of skyscrapers. And the hardest thing when you do that is just to imagine that most of those people are still lost. And they are loved by our God. Most of the people in Brazil claim to be Catholic. They trust their relationship to the Catholic Church. They mostly go to the Catholic Church once or twice a year. And they hope that their relationship to the Catholic Church will get them to heaven. But unfortunately, the Catholic Church has a very weak view of Christ. This is a picture I took in one of the churches. And their view of Christ is one that is powerless. They think that in order to be saved, you need to pray to Mary, and Mary is the hope. And sometimes you still see Christ crucified there. So though they say a few things right about Christ, most Catholics in Brazil are still lost. Now, they claim to be Catholic, but in reality, they're hedonists. That means that they live for pleasure. Samba, perhaps you've heard about that. Soccer and partying. They like to party. But when push comes to shove, they also resort to spiritism. Spiritism is also prevalent in Brazil. So the Lord has sent us back to a dark city, and our goal is to bring the light of the gospel to this dark city, to make the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ shine in the darkness. Our goal is to be used of God to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins. The problem they have is that they're blinded by the God of this world. They are in darkness, spiritual darkness, and they are bound by Satan. And as we preach salvation through Christ alone, through faith alone, the gospel is far powerful enough to shine in their hearts, and they can be released from darkness. Their great need is to be forgiven of their sin. Unfortunately, they need to be convinced of that because they think that they're on their way to heaven. But that's our goal, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins. The Lord has called us to the western section of the city of São Paulo. São Paulo has the same land area as the state of Connecticut. And São Paulo has the same population as Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Iowa combined. So it's a big city with a lot of people. The Lord has sent us to the western section, to this neighborhood. It is a neighborhood of mixed class. There's wealthy, poor, and middle class there, all available. It's mostly residential, and that's where the Lord has sent us. For the first 7 years, we rented this facility, but after 7 years, we outgrew this facility. For the first 2 years, we teamed up with my parents. They are also missionaries with Baptist World Mission, but since then, they have branched out in their church planting about 35 minutes south of us. The main means the Lord has used to bring people to salvation has been through Bible studies. It is only through the extended exposure to the Word of God that people come to realize that they need a Savior. They come to realize that they're trusting in works or their relationship to the church in order to be saved. So we sit down with people one-on-one, and many times it takes weeks. Sometimes it takes months. Many times it takes them even years to come to the point of realizing that they need a Savior. But our goal is to make disciples. Doesn't matter how long it takes. And our goal is to make disciples, so we sit down one-on-one and point people to the Word of God. We also do small groups, and of course, we do men's Bible studies every other week, always pointing people to Christ, always opening up the Word of God, and it is a Baptist church that we're planting, so we always have food when we say fellowship. Amen? We're going to have a food fellowship on Wednesday, I believe. This is a Baptist church. I'm told we like to eat because we can't drink. The ladies get together as well to do Bible studies, to open the Word of God, to point people to Christ. And of course, they have food and fellowship time. It's a blessed time. But our goal is to see people repenting from their sin, realizing that they need to be saved from their sin, and trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, kneeling down before Him and accepting Him. And then, of course, we need to baptize them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. It's quite an opportunity to see people giving a public testimony of their faith in Jesus Christ as they publicly proclaim they have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And as we have done the Bible studies, the Lord has seen fit to bring people to a saving knowledge of His Son, Jesus Christ. Flavia was saved 8 years ago. She came through our VBSs, and she heard the gospel, and she got saved. And then she started bringing her kids, and they all got saved. Her husband remained unsaved for a number of years. He was addicted to crack cocaine, and frankly, he gave us a lot of problems, a lot of problems. Patricia thought that one day he was going to come, and he was going to stab me after a service. Of course, if you remember seeing the picture of the storefront, from the pulpit, you could see the street. So from the street, you could see the pulpit. So he would stand out there, and he would stare at me, cross his arms, and make faces at me as I was preaching. And of course, I can see him out there, so I'm always preaching the gospel to him. And the Lord got a hold of his heart, and he's been a faithful member of our church. And the Lord used this gentleman who gave us so much trouble to allow us to acquire land in our neighborhood. So we praise the Lord for the way God works these things. He is wiser. It is His power, and we praise the Lord for that. Johnny came to our church 8 years ago. Our kids, most of them are saved. Her husband remains unsaved. She invited her brother to come to church. He came, and then he got saved. And then he brought his girlfriend, and then she got saved as well. And we performed a wedding for them at our storefront facility. And since then, they have had a daughter, and he's praying about the Lord's direction in going to seminary perhaps. Wagner has been with our church since the beginning. We had the privilege of baptizing this family, and he knows everyone in the neighborhood. He's been living there all of his life, and the Lord has used him to open a lot of doors for us. Ana Paula got saved 8 years ago along with her daughter. Her husband also comes to church, but we're not sure about his spiritual standing. She helps us in the ministry, and she's a great help there. Fabio heard the gospel for 8 years. He came to evangelistic Bible studies. He did Bible studies with us. He heard the gospel many, many times over. But he's just one of example of those Catholics who think they're on their way to heaven. But the more he heard about the gospel, the true gospel, how you need to repent and be saved by trusting in Jesus Christ, the fact that he died on the cross of Calvary for our sins, and that he rose again on the third day, and that whosoever believeth shall not perish, he trusted the message and he got saved. And now his two sons are saved. His wife is still attending the Catholic Church. She's heard the gospel many times. Her name is Rita, and we request that you remember to pray for her. We always mention her in our prayer letters. Alexandre came to Christ because his wife started doing Bible studies, and he would listen in from behind the door. His wife was particularly afraid that he was going to get mad or do something to us. But the more he listened in, the more the Lord got a hold of his heart, and then he's one of our deacons. And his mother and sister also started doing Bible studies. They got saved and have been baptized at our church as well. João Paulo came to Christ about 4 years ago, and then he brought his girlfriend with him, and they got saved, and they got married at our church, and they got baptized. And the Lord started working in João Paulo's heart about church planting and being involved in the church planting ministry. So he moved about 30 minutes west of us, and he's helping a church planting ministry, and we're glad the Lord is using him towards that regard. About 2 years ago, Fernanda came to Christ. Patricia did Bible studies with her sister about 7 years ago. But we came to find out that whenever her sister would come home from the Bible studies, Fernanda would ask her sister, "What did they teach you?" So she was actually evangelized by her unsaved sister. Her sister never came to Christ. But 2 years ago, she had a baby girl, and she said, "I need to go to that church where they preach the gospel. I need to get saved." So we praise the Lord for Fernanda as well. And just last year, Robert, he started coming and seeing our construction and our piece of land, and we befriended him and started preaching the gospel to him. And just before we left, he asked me how to become a member of our church, and I told him you have to be a believer and you have to be baptized. And we're reading together a book named Why I Am a Christian. So perhaps, there is Robert, I'm sorry about that. So perhaps pretty soon Robert and Vanessa can become members of the church there. All of these are first-generation believers. Disciples who heard the gospel preached to them, and they believed the message that was preached unto them. So now they are disciples of Jesus Christ, and we're trying to exhort them to continue in the faith And we keep telling them that we must go through much tribulation to enter into the kingdom of God. Don't believe this famous preacher on TV. He says, if you come to Christ, you're going to be wealthy, healthy, everything will be wonderful. Don't believe him. He is a liar. He is not even a preacher. My scripture tells me that much tribulation, and that's part of being in the ministry, is helping them face the tribulation and continue firm in their faith, to strengthen them, to encourage them, to commend them to the Lord so they can continue serving the Lord with their lives. We praise the Lord for these believers, and all of these people have gotten saved because you've been enabling us to be in Brazil, been supporting us and praying for us. So our ministry in Brazil is an extension of your ministry here, and the fruit of our labor is also fruit to your account, and we praise the Lord for that. The Lord has allowed us to organize these believers into a church, and that's the point in Acts 14:23, when they had ordained elders in every church. We're church planting missionaries, and our goal is to see a church planted there. Faith Baptist Church. This picture was taken in the public school. After meeting at that storefront for 7 years, we had to move to a larger place. We found the public school would allow us to meet there. And this is what it looked like. And this opened many doors for us. We were allowed to reach every student in this public school with the gospel of Jesus Christ, 900 in total. The principal gave us complete freedom to go, interrupt classes, and preach Jesus Christ to them. And we praise the Lord for that. Now, 1 week after we came back on furlough, February 15th, a new principal came, and she said, no more. So the church didn't have a place to meet for 2 months, but just a month and a half ago, we received a special offering, and the church was able to rent this facility, and they've been meeting there, and they have the rental for a whole year, so through May of next year. And just this week, they had a VBS, a winter VBS, Wednesday through Sunday. And I just heard this afternoon that nine souls professed Jesus Christ through the VBS. So we'll see what fruit remains from that. Keep praying for us. We only have this rental facility for a year, and we don't know what we'll do after that. The Lord has allowed many missionaries to team up with us. Mark and Anita Swedberg have teamed up with us. They took care of the church for the first semester of this year while we were on furlough. Kelly Love was a single lady missionary who has helped us in the ministry for a while as well. Graham and Renee Foran are veteran missionaries in Brazil. They teamed up with us for 2 years, and they were a great blessing in our ministry. They branched off last November, and they were the ones who took one of our families to start a new church and planting ministry about 30 minutes west of us. We praise the Lord for that. Their co-workers, Jeff and Judy Traver, have helped us in the ministry many times as well. So these are all missionaries who are laboring together. And finally, just having arrived in Brazil, Nathan Thorne, he arrived in January, and he's actually conducting the VBS this week, and he's filling in for us the second semester. Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So we praise the Lord that God has given the increase through all of these missionaries who've teamed up with us for a while or who've stepped in so we could be here reporting to our churches. Talking about missionaries, last year the Lord gave us a rich privilege to take on our own missionaries and send them to the mission field. On the left of your screen, that would be to your right. That's Thiago. He's a church planting missionary, one state south of us. And then south of him, one state south of him, Ivanio Kohler. That's the missionary church planting south of us too. And here is Ivanio, and he's being helped by Vladimir Silveira, who's been here, and they're together doing this church planting ministry, and we get to be a part of this. We praise the Lord for the opportunity to support these missionaries and to see more churches being started as more people strive to fulfill the Great Commission by making disciples of every nation, by going, baptizing, and teaching them. The Lord has also allowed us to be involved in teaching in Brazil. I've been teaching at a seminary downtown. It's called Lagos Baptist Seminary. I don't know, for whatever reason, they have put me to teach a New Testament introduction and Greek. I wasn't particularly good at Greek, so I think God has a sense of humor in all of this. I've never studied so much Greek in my life as now that I've started teaching Greek, and I don't like it. But it's an important part of ministry, and it's been a privilege to teach all of these men. It's a night seminary. Classes go from 7 to 11. And we typically get home about midnight. It takes us an hour and a half to get there. But we praise the Lord for the opportunity to be involved in this seminary. After all, we need to teach other men so they're able to teach other men as well. That is part of what we're supposed to do. As we fulfill the Great Commission and teach people to be obedient followers of Jesus Christ, we need to make teachers of them so they can teach others as well, and then we multiply ourselves that way. One of our members is actually attending that seminary, Layutong. He's halfway through his seminary training, and just last month, the church voted him in as an assistant pastor, as an intern, and our desire is that he will take over this church once he's done with seminary and the church is able to support him full-time. They lost a baby last year, and the Lord used that difficult circumstance to confirm in the minds of people that this was a serious man who loved the Lord and was serious about the things of the Lord. So pray with us for Layutong. He's preaching tonight. They're 2 hours ahead, so I'm assuming their service is over by now, so he probably just finished preaching. And we praise the Lord for the Lord giving us this young man who can take over the ministry there. 2 years ago, the Lord gave us a piece of land. I told you that family the Lord allowed to give us a piece of land. Land is very expensive in a big city like São Paulo. Everybody builds up, so land is very expensive. In our neighborhood, everything sells for about $300,000 for a small lot, probably about the size of this gym here. And we just didn't know what the Lord was going to have us do. But the Lord, in a wonderful way, opened the doors for us to purchase this piece of land for $50,000. Now, there were 20 single-room family dwellings on it, and we had no idea what we would do with all of that. Nothing could be used. And I started questioning the Lord, saying, Lord, really? Is this what we're going to use for a church? Just a few months after that, I saw some movement across the street and came to find out that they started building a technical college just across the street from us. So I got brave, decided to go over there, talked to the person responsible, and said, you know what? If you ever need any rubble, I happen to have quite a bit of it. All you have to do is go across the street, tear it down, and help yourself to it. To my surprise, he took me up on that, and he came, and he tore everything down for us and took all the rubble away. Well, then after I looked at that, and you can see that this is the street level here, see the street level? I said, you know what? Now we have some dirt to give away. Would you be interested in some dirt? And he said, I just might. And he started helping himself to the dirt, and he ended up taking 350 truckloads for free. So he left our piece of land ready to build. Since then, we have built this big retaining wall, and it took us 6 months to build this huge retaining wall, but we are ready to build. The Lord saved us about $70,000 through all of that. And just across the street from us, they're going to build a technical school. I can point you to across the street from us. So it's a very narrow street. And just across the street, they're building a technical school that will house as many as 10,000 students. And they're going to start classes in February, and that's when we're hoping to go back to Brazil. So the Lord has given us a premium location with lots of students there, and perhaps the Lord can give us a ministry similar to All Nations Baptist Church and the U of M there. So we're excited about what the Lord will do there. We just need to build. There's going to be a big facility across the street from us, and we're hoping to build something like this, a multi-level facility. And we're praying that the Lord will allow us to build the first level first, and then as soon as we have that built, we can move into it and start having services there. So pray for us. We go back in February of 2016. We're trying to raise some funds to build this first level. And we only have the rental facility through May of next year. So we're hoping that perhaps by then the Lord will have opened up the doors for us to build there. Thank you so much for partnering with us, for praying for us. We do have magnets there at the back of our table. We have some prayer cards that should be arriving in the mail tomorrow here. So if you remember to pick up a prayer card and some magnets and pray for us. Pray for us as we continue striving to obey the Great Commission, making disciples by baptizing and by teaching them to obey whatsoever the Lord has commanded us. Pray for us as we keep preaching Jesus Christ, salvation through faith alone, through Christ alone. So please remember to pray for us. Thank you so much.